Dear Shooter, when we think of budget guns, the first thing that comes to mind is High Point, which has a microwave named after it, and they both have the same reviews. Or the French used market. Never fired, only dropped once. But in today's market, you can find some really good guns that don't require a second mortgage.
It's not about protecting the stupid. It's just, it is what it is.
I don't know if you know this, but I'm a self-identifying llama. And it's because I have a quick temper and I like to spit.
You are not safe and you are not sacred and you're both liars.
We're talking about firearms, y'all.
Keep it clean.
I can hide one under there.
One what? I don't want to know.
I look like I got ran over by a paint truck on the way to Sherwin-Williams and then backed over by the short bus.
You know, let's talk about the modern trends in transsexual transitions.
Welcome to the Dear Shooter podcast. Dear Shooter is brought to you by WyoTech, empowerment through self-reliance, and by Lucid Optics, on target, under budget.
We're back again for the Thursday Get Up and Get After It. We're talking budget guns and
microwaves.
And microwaves. I think both of them are budget.
Same reviews. Don't put two potatoes in it.
Two potatoes shorts it out. Okay.
You're talking about High Point.
No, actually I'm not. That's always the first thing that comes to mind when you talk about the budget gun market, right? But I recently picked up, it's a Live Free Armory Falcon 9X. Glock clone, that market has exploded. And some of these guns that are coming out, you know, you're sub $500, in some cases even sub $400 for the gun. And they're good guns. The triggers are right. The ergonomics are right. The aesthetics look good. You've got milled slides, all this kind of stuff, optic cut, and they shoot.
I remember when PSA came out with the Dagger, and it had all the promise of being the next Glock. Well, it was patterned directly after the Glock. And they had an astounding $299 price point on that damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it came with... you know, a very stylish slide, a reasonable trigger, a better grip angle than Glock is for me.
Yeah.
And then they had a hard time delivering it. I think that the rush to get it out, they found out that, you know, making a gun isn't exactly as simple as some people think it is.
You know, we've seen that hurdle with a few folks.
Yeah. I mean, more than one or two. I'm
yeah.
Counting on my left hand here.
Didn't it take Rob like a decade to get his out?
Yeah.
He was chasing squirrels a lot, though.
He does. He does squirrel.
Yeah.
I mean, good gun, but good golly, that took a minute.
Well, and even that one, when it first originally came out, it had a host of, I'll call them minor issues, but they were issues nonetheless.
There you go. You know, every new gun launch is going to have some gremlins.
I mean,
it's just, it's a product of mass production.
Well, and I think it's mass production that's been driving the cost of some of these down. I mean, CNC machining is getting better. The 3D printing world has changed the face of what we're doing from a manufacturing scale.
Right.
We can get prototypes, serviceable prototypes, much faster than we ever could before.
Well, right, because before, to get a prototype, you'd have to go in and get it all roto-molded, and you had to get tooling and all this and that and the other. And then if it flopped, now you're back to square one and you're out $30,000 for that prototype.
Yeah, the exploration portion of development was expensive.
Yeah, now, I mean, a lot of these guys are, they're developing a prototype on a $500 desktop 3D printer.
Correct.
And they're functional.
They work just fine with common parts. So there's a lot less machining going on.
I think that more than anything is helping drive this market is there are a lot of common parts in all of this. especially when you cut, when you talk about things like Glock 1911, 2011 parts, it's like a GM motor. You know, well, okay, fine. GM motor back in the 70s, anybody could work on it.
Correct.
And that's where we are now. You're talking absolute debunked technology. This stuff has been evolving over, in some cases, 40 years. You start looking at Glocks. Now everybody, you know, and I'm assuming what's happened is a lot of these patents have run out, which is why we're getting all of these clones.
I think there's some of that. I think there's somebody got to peek behind the curtain a little bit, and somebody finally grabbed the initiative to backwards engineer a few pieces and parts too.
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, at SHOT Show, I was hearing rumblings of Glock writing the nasty gram letters of, well, S is too close to R's. You've got to change that, this, and that. So, I mean, they're still protecting their IP, and as they should, but there are ways around it, and people are figuring that out.
Right, right. And there's always going to be. I mean, it just, so much of this stuff, and I wish I could cite the source, but they said at the end of the day, all innovation becomes fashion.
That's correct.
I mean, and everybody's kind of, they're all in this market because that's what sells.
Fashion does sell. You're seeing the styling and the stippling and the slide cuts. And then there's the colors.
Right.
Not just slides and frames, barrel colors. The coatings and the heat treats are doing kind of some exotic stuff these days.
Oh, there's some cool stuff out there.
The pink glitter. I told Richard that if he racked that slide, he'd have glitter on him, and he did.
Now, those are on a SIG pattern, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so, but it was pink glitter.
Was that your Galactic June Bug?
No, it's just a pink gun, and the slide is glitter.
Oh. Yeah, so they thought that they would glitter up one series of them, and they have them in multiple colors.
I've had children, and I have a grandchild, and let me tell you, glitter gets everywhere. I don't care how much glue you use.
Yeah, oh yeah. And it was all over him that day when he was handling it.
He could go home. His wife's going to ask him what strip club he went to.
Well, we live in Riverton, so he's kind of got a pass.
Not even going to go there.
Well, and, 4 years ago, you saw the rise of the Glock 19 clone. And it has perpetuated and continues to perpetuate into today.
Right. Well, and that all kind of started with PSA. Like you said, they had a few missteps, and they had to kind of take a couple steps back and rework it. And what they eventually came out with, I will be honest, I was a little disappointed when the Dagger first came out, because what I saw at SHOT, I was really excited for. And then when it came out, it was like, oh, well, where's all the cool stuff that you had? Right. But this year, when I went by their booth, they have come out with the new Saber version of it. And that is what the Dagger should have been initially.
Well, and I have some inside information on that. They were going to release the cool gun. And then when it came time to assembly, after they had bought a bunch of parts and done all the things, they didn't go together. There was a couple measurements that were wrong in the engineering drawings, and they had to start over.
Ooh, yeah.
So that stunk.
Yeah, and that'll eat into your budget real quick.
Yeah, that stung. I mean, people, they got fired over the deal, and at the end of the day, it was just a soft launch on a gun that should have been cool, and now they finally got there.
Yeah, it's there. I mean, it took a couple extra years, and to be fair, some of those years were COVID years.
True.
And that kind of slowed everybody down. If you look at the COVID years, everybody was wide open just trying to produce what they had as fast as they could, because that's how fast it was selling. You're not producing new stuff when you're running every machine wide open 24/7.
And then we hit year two of COVID, and supply chains stopped to a halt.
Right, right. So struggling through all that, it didn't surprise me that we really didn't see a lot of innovation for that 2 or 3 year period.
No, it was very common.
But now, things have kind of leveled out a little bit. Unfortunately, I think a lot of that has to do with the economy, but you're starting to see some more innovation. Now, this year we saw a lot of the 2011s. Everybody's chasing that Staccato.
That double stack 1911 style pistol, the race gun, it was cloned everywhere. I mean, Live Free had some, SDS Imports had some,
people who don't make pistols had some.
Oh, oh man, yeah.
Savage came out with a pistol. I don't know that it was double stack 1911, but Daniel Defense showed up with a pistol.
Mm-hmm.
It was the year of let's try something new with the brand.
Right.
Rise of the lever gun this year.
Mm-hmm.
There was a whole host of range toys, and the couple that actually kind of got it right.
Right.
Went to a box magazine on a lever gun with Henry, and it now can fire your long, pointy bullets without having a potential for a magazine cook-off.
Right.
They got that one right. If you looked at it and held it, it was thought through.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to back you up a little bit because you mentioned SDS Imports.
Yeah.
Now, this is another company that I don't think gets enough love. These guys, they're Turkish imports. So they're running Tesis. They're running Mac. They're good guns. And the price point on them, I don't have to take out a second mortgage.
No, they're reasonable.
You're looking at, I was looking at some of their shotguns today. Even their high-end stuff is $700.
See, that's impressive for a high-end shotgun. Really impressive, actually.
Yeah, I mean, and these are semi-auto, stainless, like they're marine versions.
Interesting. I know that the pistols that I've handled from them here in the last couple recent weeks, they are impressive. The triggers are good. The grips are good. The tolerances on them are... They're tighter than I thought they were going to be. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to run one.
Now, you got what, a 1911 version, a 2011, and one of their, you did their PX9?
I didn't actually get the PX9. I got two of their 2011 styles.
Okay.
And I got one of the 1911. These will be used at our fundraiser here Saturday. One's in a 10mm, though. And yeah. I got to tell you, that 1911 frame in a 10mm is formidable.
Oh, it's beefy.
It is.
You know, and you go back to that, you know, we kind of knock Kimber a little bit because they build amazing guns, but their tolerances are so tight that the heat and the dirt, they tend to gum up. I know that SDS Tesis is using the old GI tooling.
That's encouraging.
Which it tells me that these are going to be workhorses.
That's encouraging, because that's my only complaint with a Kimber, is in a 500-round class, I'm lucky if I make it to the end of the class without a malfunction of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
In a 100-round class, I'm usually not so bad. But if I'm going to be at it for all day or 2 days, it doesn't make it. Now, I can go back and stone the raceways and work it over myself.
Right.
And it does better.
But you shouldn't have to do that.
I agree.
I mean, especially not when you're looking at a gun that's got a price point of somewhere between $1,200 and $2,000 for some of these.
True. And the only reason I went back and worked on mine is I was trying to achieve the Nighthawk Custom or the Les Baird guys with a 1911 without having to go spend $7,000 on one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The divide between those two is astounding.
Right.
But you're right. The tolerances on the Kimber are just, they're jewelry. They're really well made, but they're tight.
They are tight. And you know, not to take any away from them, because they are nice guns. But I just, you know, when you start getting the heat, you start getting the rounds, you start getting the dirt, they require a lot more maintenance.
Mm-hmm. Well, you talk about fashion. You wear that one out. Out and about, you're not going to be shooting 100 rounds while you're out at a banquet.
Right.
Or
and that's, you've got that Kimber Sapphire that's your pretty. That's what you wear. That's your accessory when we go somewhere really nice. And it works. And you know that it's going to get you out of a bind, but you also know that's not the one you take to the range when we're doing that two-day class. Like, you understand the limitations of it.
So my rub with 1911 style pistols is I'm getting old, and I like heft in a pistol, but it pulls my pants down.
It's called suspenders.
I'm headed that way. I'm going to shoulder rigs. I mean, I like the guns, but to carry them for a couple days in a class, you're perpetually pulling your pants up as you get older.
Well, I don't know. tighten
everything
up.
Sags.
Oh, we just crashed our ass off. We have no acetol.
So, I recently did a, let's call it a Southwest tour. Did a speaking engagement in San Diego and came back and taught a class in Reno on my way back. And I got to tell you, I don't think I have ever been more paranoid than knowing I had to go teach a carbine class in Nevada after traveling through California. I was like hiding everything I had.
Well, and rightly so. You probably had some stuff that's made for free America.
I did. But it bugs the hell out of me that I have to do that. And before I left, like I was trying to do the responsible thing, right? I was looking up California gun laws and how it worked, and because I wasn't a resident and this and that and the other. And it is so confusing because they have all these statutes. So supposedly the magazine capacity thing was struck down. But if you read this article, there's still an injunction. So it's still in the magazine thing's still in effect. But you read the next article and no, they couldn't put it back into effect because of this Supreme Court ruling. And it's like, I feel bad for people that travel a lot, because how do you understand this stuff when they can't even make up their mind?
You stay out of California.
Well, I'd like to, but it sounds like I have to go back again.
Or you get budget guns this time and take those with you, so if they do get taken, you're not out so much.
God, there you go. Unfortunately, the next one is a long-range class. So
just borrow Mike's gun. It's already California.
It is California compliant. He did cry when that
good
happened.
Lord. So you actually got into California and back out again without having to kiss a dude.
Yeah. But paranoia abound because I had things in locked cases, locked under my seats, out of sight.
He has a 9mm magazine shoved in the toilet paper roll in the glove box because he didn't unload it.
I did do that because I unloaded the gun, put it in the glove box, and put the magazines with it, and then locked the glove box because as long as you're locked up, you're okay, and the magazine can't be in the gun, and the gun can't be loaded.
I thought the ammo had to be in a separate locked container.
It depends on what you read.
It was in the toilet paper, and it was locked up.
Separately?
Well, I had the gun locked in the center console. I had the magazines locked in the glove box.
Oh, my God. You were good then.
Hidden in toilet paper.
Just the ridiculousness.
I'm going to say this in running the risk of offending orangutans, but California's laws and statutes are written by monkeys.
Oh, God. They're horrible. I mean, the fact that for basically a day and a half, well, 2 days, I was sweating bullets.
You didn't stuff them up there, did you?
No.
Oh, good.
But it...
Everything's better with lube.
Right? I keep saying this.
What right do we have that we have to jump through so many hoops?
There's not a single one that we're willing to compromise on without due process other than the second.
Right.
I mean, you go down the list. We're just not willing to. But evidently, the second's open for interpretation.
I guess.
Not in my house, but you guys go interpret it how you want to.
So, one of the things that I learned on this trip, and it's going to be a change that I make in the carbine class that I do, it was a conversation that got brought up because a lot of the stuff that we do in the carbine class, it's not, you know, we call it a defensive class, right? Because, you know, you have access, you're using a carbine to defend your life. That's the whole point of this. But a lot of the stuff that we do in this class is very aggressive. And I had my student kind of asked me, you know, how do you separate that dynamic a little bit? How do you say, you know, we're going to be aggressive, we're going to do this? And this is a student that had already been through, like, the IDS course, which is very, very defensive. It's very counter-ambush. It's very response to a threat. But it covers, that class kind of covers, let's say, the first 4 to 6 seconds, maybe 10 seconds of the initial contact. at a certain point, and especially when you're dealing with multiple threats, the dynamic's going to shift. And you're kind of, on a certain level, you are kind of going on the offensive here.
You have to. Those who survive take the fight to their assailants.
Right.
Those who die tried to hide.
Right. And I will say the same thing that I said there, is that the way we end the incident, not necessarily the threat, right? But the way we stop the incident is that we are more efficient and effective at violence than those trying to do it against us.
Nobody wants to go there. But when it's time, you have to go there in a big way.
Right. Which is why we talk about the switch.
Exactly right. And yes, you go from, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do this, to, all right, fine, let's do this. And it's no more compromise. It's now you're playing rules, not theirs.
Right.
Because if you don't take control of the situation, you're dead.
Oh, exactly right. Exactly.
So that switch is a 180-degree switch. But you got to be prepared to do it.
Right.
Got to get him to play by your rules, because then you know the game.
There are no rules, and I'm going to enforce that.
Hey, if games have rules. If you're in real life, if you're not cheating, you're not trying hard enough to win.
Yeah, there's no rule book when it comes down to a fight. I am going to survive. Watch me.
Right. I'm going to take 2 seconds here. And then I've got some really, really cool news for you guys. The 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company, based in Vail, Colorado, high up in the Rocky Mountains. 10th Mountain is a tribute company to the legendary 10th Mountain Division, maker of fine spirits, including bourbon, rye, and vodka, as well as being a generous supporter of the shooting sports and veterans charities. Support those that support us. And to make it easier, 10th Mountain is offering our listeners a discount. Just enter Dear Shooter at checkout for 10% off. 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirits Company. Whiskey worth fighting for. All right. So the second thing that I saw in Reno that just absolutely blew my mind, and I started talking to the owners over there. If you're in the market for a suppressor, now is the time. I've been kind of watching, like, Silencer Shop, and because they kind of keep updated on their Facebook and Instagram of how fast people are getting approved. I've been seeing on average 2 weeks to a month. When I was in Reno, I showed up there about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I stepped into the shop and I was talking to the owner, and he was in the process of a guy doing the Silencer Shop kiosk thing, right? This is at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So all this stuff got submitted 5:30 in the evening. When I walked in day two of the class, this is Wednesday morning, owner of the shop walks in and goes, the guy was approved. I got the approval at 2:30 this morning. Okay, ATF Form 4 approval in like 36 hours.
That's incredible.
That's unheard of. And I got talking to him about this a little bit, and he goes, yeah, I'm seeing like 7 days. Pretty consistent. So I don't know if when e-forms went down a couple weeks ago and they fixed it, they said they updated some things and got it more efficient, so maybe?
Worth looking at.
But, yeah, it makes me want to go strangle somebody, because I waited almost 2 years for one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's maddening.
And now they've got it fixed. It's like when you sell a stock and then it goes up.
I mean, if it could just be 2 years for me to pay my taxes.
Right.
That's what it is. You're paying on a tax stamp.
And then they get to keep all my stuff.
Correct.
That's the maddening part of it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, if you're in the market for a suppressor, and I don't know if this is working on all Form 4 or Form 1 stuff. I don't know if it's across the board. But at least for suppressors, like, yeah, go get one now, because you'll probably have it by the end of the month.
That's encouraging.
And hopefully that trend continues, because the ATF has been really, really slow on this stuff historically.
Yeah, that's encouraging. Mine was a year and a day.
Year and a day. Before this last one, the longest I think I waited was 10 months.
I have one that was 10 months. A couple years after my year and a day. But yeah, they're like children. You wait for them. It's like a gestation period.
That's a long gestation. Isn't that like an elephant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yours is.
Yeah. Crazy. And I still haven't even gotten to shoot it yet.
That's weird.
I know, right? I have one gun and one suppressor that I have not shot yet. I have got to fix this.
Did you run a mag of that Live 3 yet?
No, I haven't.
So that's the gun.
Yeah. I was gonna take it with me, and then I was like, 17 round mags. I probably better not take that to California because it'll be my luck.
So you had this talk out in California.
Mm-hmm.
And you had this fully egg-headed, in-depth discussion you were going to have.
Yeah, okay.
And then the venue you went to, you did some audience assessment.
Speak to your audience. So, yeah, so when we first talked about this, this was an event that was sponsored by USCCA. They were calling it the Gun Symposium. And, you know, it was supposed to be a consumer show, but they had a lot of eggheads come in and give some pretty substantial speeches on laws, on politics, on firearms, on medical, on safety. I mean, there were some really cool speakers there. But I walked into the venue and I looked around, and I think we all have our interpretation when you hear the word gun show.
Yes.
But this was a California gun show.
It was a California gun show, and you could have plucked it straight out of Tennessee. But I walked in, walked around, I talked to a few people, and that night I sat down and completely revamped what I was going to do, because I realized I was not going to be speaking real high level. I was going to be talking to the mall ninjas. And so that's what they got.
Well, all right.
So instead of talking ballistics and math and how you gauge wind and how you read mirage and things like that, we talked about here's why you choose what gear you choose.
Interesting.
And to be fair, they ate it up.
Well, sure. Probably no one's ever talked to them about it before.
I don't think they had. Now, one thing that I did get into, end up having to circle back because I had a couple of questions on it, was the difference between first focal plane, second focal plane, minutes versus mils.
Were that high level? Maybe
by
you could have done...
By the end of the talk, yes.
You could have done ballistic for babies.
Oh, my God, I'm writing a book.
So, God, tell me you didn't fuck that up.
No, I didn't.
Okay, good.
That's one thing I've got pretty solid. Like, and I can, because I've learned over time, especially when it becomes first focal plane, second focal plane, mils versus minutes, you have to explain it like somebody's four.
Alien concepts.
Yeah.
To most people.
And it really is. And in this day and age, 2024, it shouldn't be. These are simple.
Common core math. Tells you everything I know about the attention span in the available Mensa membership for mathematics in
right.
the school.
Right.
I'm disappointed.
Why you got to throw that out at me?
Well, I think you're probably just old enough to get by without Common Core.
Oh, no.
He's older than that. It was my daughter who's turning 25, I believe, this year. She started Common Core in the seventh grade.
All right.
My niece got to start at kindergarten. So Crystal said school got easier, and my niece said it's all the same to her.
Yikes.
I hadn't even heard about Common Core until my daughter was in school.
About middle school for her, too, is when they kicked it in.
In high school. Because we were still in Wyoming. I think Crystal was in Texas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think bigger cities, they started earlier, you know.
Because LeVon was huge, y'all. We had a Sonic. That's it. That's no gas station.
That's high brow right there.
Oh,
right?
Man.
I think the Sonic was there before the town we built around it claimed it.
And don't be hating on Sonic now. I like me a limeade.
That yeah, that's about all I can handle from there.
It all depends on how much partying you did.
She's got a valid point.
She does. But.
So you changed your speech.
I totally changed it. But I think it was information that isn't really out there. It's like something I'm going to have to write on or do an article or something.
There's a high level of assumptions. And this is one of the topics that, if you remember, when we started this podcast, we wanted to make sure that we reached the folks that were getting into it, that were new, that had all the questions that we had forgotten about already. And we're making the mistakes that we wish we had not made when we were getting started to guide them a little bit.
Right.
So, yeah, that gear selection is probably in the forefront of relevant topics.
Well, and I think I threw the entire room for a loop because I threw out the question. I said, all right, you know, because everybody in this room, you know, raise your hand. What's the longest shot you've taken? And I was getting like 300, 400 yards. And I'm like, you know, I'm assuming that you're in this room because you want to go play the long range game. So first we broke down, well, what is long range? Because today we kind of have, we have the mid-range stuff, which I think we would say is what? 3 to 8,
solid mid range. Yeah, 3 to 8,
and then your long range, you're talking 6 to about 15.
Yep,
and then you get into the ELR, which is your 1,000 to 2,500 beyond.
And the assumption you're making is this is a center fire cartridge,
right?
If you go to rim fire,
yeah, well, yeah, then it's a whole different game. But
your 2 to 400 is ELR,
right?
But you don't want to confuse everybody, so just stick to one.
Yeah.
I have a hard time with that.
I know. But I went this way for a specific reason, because then I asked the question, okay, I want to get into this game. What's the first thing I need? And hands went up, and 3 in a row, I need a gun. Wrong. What you need to do is you need to figure out which realm you want to play in. And then select your caliber. Ideally, something that's not a reload-only option, 6mm XC right here.
I've done that more than once.
Okay. Yep. You know, find something that you can get ammo for, especially in this ammo market, because it sucks. So, you know, if you want to play in that mid-range and even into that long range a little bit, you may not be reaching to the far reaches of it, but your 6.5 Creedmoors, your 6mm Creedmoors, your 6 ARC, your, you know, a lot of your six millimeter cartridges, but not your Dashers, not your Gay Tiger, your, you know, these where you can't get the ammunition commercially.
Sorry, I'm laughing over here because I have like a handful of the cartridges you're talking about.
You have a tire corner of your gun room.
That's a handful.
Weird ass shit.
I have a whole plethora of the XCs and the Dashers.
Oh, I know. I know. But
the Bs, the Super Bs.
But you play in a lot of these different games.
I do.
And you're also a very prolific reloader.
I am.
Okay. So, but somebody just getting into it that probably doesn't have all the reloading equipment, you don't want to weigh them down with the gear it takes to go shoot, and now they've got to spend twice that for the gear it takes to make the bullets to go shoot.
And can California reload? Because I know for a while they were doing background checks on ammo, and they had a quota that they could have in a month or whatever.
I think there's restrictions on how much they can purchase at one single time.
Yeah. So
they can reload, but it's not more than a couple batches at a time.
Well, that's all right. That's about all you can find powder for.
Or primers.
Yeah, that too.
So I need to open an ammo store on the border of Nevada, kind of like the fireworks between us and Colorado.
Yes.
You would kill it.
Oh, my God. And I talked to, I don't know how many people I talked to that they're like, oh, yeah, we go to Phoenix or we go to Vegas or we go to Reno to go buy our magazines and buy this and buy that. But here's the crazy part. When you drive into California, there's a freaking checkpoint, and they look for that stuff.
Wait, there's a checkpoint?
Yes.
To go into a state.
Yes.
Yes, there was when we went, only they weren't checking for that back then. They, no fresh fruit, no vegetables, no.
Now, I get a checkpoint coming in from Mexico.
No, we were coming in from Arizona.
Yeah. Now, one of the things, when I talk to him, when I talk to a lot of people, because I asked him about that, I'm like, are you know what? In their, because they said like they're specifically looking for, did you go to Nevada or Phoenix or whatever, and buy gun parts that are illegal in California, magazines, et cetera. But what they did tell me is they're like, as long as you're not advertising, so like you're not wearing your gun stuff, you don't have all the stickers on your vehicle, things like that. Hey, we've talked about the gray man thing before, right? They're not going to probably probe for that. If
those
they
communist motherfuckers.
I agree.
You need your buddy next time from Casper? And you need to take his pet badger on a trip to California.
No kidding.
They'll leave him alone.
Now, so do you have to show paperwork, like driver's license and shit?
I did not. Now, when I went through the checkpoint, it was very early on Monday morning, which kind of surprised me that it was unmanned. But they exist.
Holy hell, y'all. This world has gone nuts.
Oh, I know. And well, and I was on the phone to Brandy at the time, and I'm like, I have to go through a checkpoint. And she starts telling me all this, and I'm like, oh, crap. I'm going to jail.
I'm just almost speechless at the fact that going into a state, from a state of the United States.
Yes.
There's a checkpoint.
Yeah, I know.
An inspection process.
Yeah, freaked me out. I was to the point, had that thing been manned, I was seriously considering turning around, calling Mike, and going, dude, I ain't going to make it. I can't go into California. They're going to arrest my ass.
Indiana Jones here's getting out his map to make sure he hadn't left the country.
Hey, shut up.
Well, that's a valid question, though, because you shouldn't have to have a hassle across the state line as a United States citizen.
No, and I can understand because we have check stations and stuff for semis that go through.
Now, that's different. You're carrying freight.
Right.
And muscles or whatever that on the boat.
Right, I get
carrying
that.
Freight.
Right.
But we're not harassing.
Commercially.
If you're not cattle or freight or pulling a boat from one state to another.
Right. Why?
Nobody cares.
Why? Why? Is there any reason to stop me?
There's no reason for a civilian to stop at a check station for weight at the state border. That's a commercial check station.
Right.
Yeah, it's, well, they do it for cattle too, but.
Well, it's a commercial entity.
Right. And they just do it because they don't want your vehicle overweight because it tears up the roads. I get that.
And I bet you that guy that drives the cattle truck has a CDL.
Right.
Which makes him part of that review.
If he doesn't, he's not getting off the dirt roads, right, Jared?
That's right.
That's exactly right, Jared.
But yeah, I mean, that, I was genuinely like, I was prepared to go, dude, I'm not going to make it because if I cross this border, I'm going to jail. As a U.S. citizen going into a U.S. state, that should not be a concern.
It should not be a concern. I agree with you.
So, yeah, California is, they're circling the drain.
Wow.
As far as just they have. They've gone Marxist. And good Lord, gas prices there? $5.25 a gallon for 85 octane fuel.
And I can't confirm this, but I understand that's electric vehicle delivery. That's where they're getting the cost.
Oh, God. No, it's not where they're getting the cost. They're getting the cost because they're, when I looked at the sticker on the thing, it was like, it was almost $4 in taxes.
Oh, God.
I mean, it's nuts what they're doing there. Hmm. And if I noticed they quit putting the stickers on our pumps because the tax is more than what you actually pay for the fuel.
That's right. It would just make most folks mad.
Yeah. And they don't want you to see that because then you understand why gas is so expensive. It's not the fuel itself. It's the tax.
This is true.
But, yeah, that was nuts.
Good Lord.
But, yeah, so back to, you know, the chicken before the egg thing. Find your ammo first because that's going to determine the gun. So many people get into this. And this is why I see people coming to a mid-range, long-range with a 300 Win Mag.
Yeah. Completely capable.
Oh, it absolutely is.
Way more than you want to shoot 100 rounds of in a day.
Right. And it, yeah, beats the hell out of people.
Rule number 4, love thy shoulder.
That's a good rule.
I like that rule.
I don't know that it's officially number 4, but it's a damn good rule.
We'll make it number 4. We're going to have Brandy's rules like we have Gibbs rules.
All right. That should be an interesting evolution.
But no, and then yeah, finally make it through California, make it to Nevada, which I had to go through kind of a circuitous route because all the mountain passes were closed with like 10 feet of snow.
Yeah. How did you get out? I know that storm hit before you got out.
Yeah, so I went north. I was on the east side of Yosemite Valley, and it kicked me out into Nevada. So I had to come up into I-80 and then go west into Reno because there was no getting close to Tahoe.
No kidding.
Which is the way I should have gone. But, yeah, you couldn't get to Tahoe from anywhere.
Wow.
In fact, there was a couple of employees at the range that I was at that they hadn't been to work for 2 days because they couldn't leave their house.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah, and snow on the ground in Reno.
All right.
But overall, good trip. Had incredible time in Reno. That was actually the first time I had taught that class on an indoor range. So had to modify a little bit because, you know, when you've only got 12 feet to deal with drills that take like 50 yards.
that tends to cramp your style a little bit.
A little bit, but made it work. And
I want to make a suggestion because I'm intrigued. The selecting your gear, the mindset, I think we should revisit that on another podcast.
I agree.
Because I want to kind of close out with some thought process on, to start out talking about budget guns.
Mm-hmm.
And very typically, everything's a trade-off.
Right.
It's like one of the golden rules, right? You know, the pay once, cry once mentality is starting to fade because manufacturers are catching on.
Right.
That the bulk of the money is in the middle price point.
Right.
Right. And they're developing and delivering quality firearms, quality gear, and price points that you would have laughed at me if I had told you what it cost 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Find something that fits. Find something you like. Find something you can afford. Because if you don't have money for training and ammo, what are you going to do? Sit and look at it?
Right. Well, that's kind of what started down this whole thing. I mean, we're seeing a lot of these more budget-friendly guns, but they're good. We've seen so many improvements in metallurgy, like you were saying, your CNC. It's not as expensive to produce as it used to be, and it's not as exclusive.
True.
You have got gun manufacturers coming out of the woodwork, and everybody's producing a quality product.
Now, the other thing that it produces is fanboys.
There's that, too.
So just because you see some guy on Facebook raving about his new widget, that may not necessarily mean it's for you. Do your own research.
Absolutely.
Because that's part of selecting your gear.
Well, it's got to fit you. It's got to fit you, and it's got to do the job that you ask it.
Yeah, you can't wear your sister's prom dress. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Wait a minute. I was in California, and apparently you can.
I need my sister's prom dress back.
I had to fit in, man. That,
she's going to have to ask for it
at
some point.
There's some scary stuff going on down there. The electric vehicles down there just blew my mind. They're everywhere.
Didn't you send me a picture of a Mustang that was electric?
I did. A freaking electric Mustang. And it's parked next to me in the parking garage at the hotel.
Why?
And it was a hatchback. I mean, it was ugly as sin. It's not a Mustang. I'm sorry.
It can go fast for a little time.
You ruined it.
I just ruined it.
Since it's electric, does it have any ponies left?
I don't think so. I mean, you did.
No, those are hamsters.
You ruins a muscle car. What did you do?
Totally ruin a muscle car, because, I mean, now we measure it in torque, not horsepower.
I'm sorry. Ford, you just got another point off of you.
Oh, my God.
So and can you charge these things off? You know the chargers we carry around for our phones? Can we just plug into one of those?
I don't know, but I'll tell you what. As soon as I saw this thing parked next to me, because I had parked kind of in the corner, because it – let's face it, Southern California, nobody drives big trucks, right? So I had parked in this corner because I didn't have to worry about anybody parking to the one side of me, and I had a straight shot out. As soon as these guys started parking and plugging in their cars, because I've seen some of these electric car fires, I moved my truck to the other end of the parking garage.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And a lithium fire is no joke.
No. They're scary.
Causes many exits in parking garage.
Yeah.
Including the spot where they were sitting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like thermite. It'd go right through that concrete floor.
Crazy. Still an exit.
Oh, it is an exit. It's a rapid exit. And then there's a pile of goo at the bottom.
Softer to fall in.
It's hot, too.
So, you've solidified my choice. I'm not going to California.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I was less paranoid going out of the country than I was going into California.
Sounds like it was a very valid fear.
To be fair, you were carrying firearms into California. We don't typically carry when we go out of country.
No, we don't. But still, I don't know.
Wilson went through carrying the first time we went to South Africa. What's it like to carry, you know, Homeland Security and all sorts of shit?
You have a guy for that.
Well, I get to getting out of the country was worse than actually landing in South Africa. But that may be because I hired a handler.
I was going to say, you didn't have your guy on the way out?
Nope. Oh. That was all me. Mr. X only met me when we got there.
Well, I will tell you, if you want to know how South Africa works, go back. And I don't have the episode number, but it's called Off the Rails. And Michael talks about how you handle things in Africa.
Yes.
It quite succinctly.
He does it. Well, he's been there more than once, so he kind of knows how it goes.
He does.
But yeah, it was a very interesting thing. We landed in Joburg and gathered our stuff and met my handler. He walked us right into the inspection room, shook hands with the guys, bumped knuckles. They had a good joke they told each other, and they look at my case. I pay my fee, wave me through. I was out of there. The ride-on boys.
I think they're still there.
They may be, because as we were leaving, I hear them say, what paperwork, and you need to get me a supervisor, and they were not being managed by IA.
You're not in your country.
Yes.
That is your supervisor.
Yep. Yeah, Mr. X was like, yo, we need to go faster now.
Time to go.
He whisked us out of the parking lot, and I'm pretty sure those boys are still there.
It's just like us Americans to be arrogant to think that we have rights when we leave our country, because you don't.
No. Okay. I'm gonna throw us on a tangent here before we get out of here. We recognize that we don't have our rights when we travel abroad. So why do we want to extend our rights to people who don't belong here?
I don't think that's how it should work. I know how we turn a blind eye and we let things be okay, but foreign nationals, green card or not, they're not citizens, and they should not enjoy the rights that citizens have. There are some things that are just basic human rights, and I get it. But for the most part, if it's written down in the Bill of Rights, they're not necessarily entitled to it.
Right. And I don't mean to go on a political rant, but it just, I mean, everybody thinks as soon as you cross the border of the United States, you get to enjoy all the rights of a citizen. And it just makes me nuts.
We'll have plenty of time to talk about this. Coming up, it's an election year. And it's going to be a focus of once or twice, maybe more.
Yeah. So before we get out of here, two things. One of the bills that we talked about with Mark Jones a few weeks ago, the repeal of gun-free zones in Wyoming,
Did that actually pass
the legislature? As far as I know, right now it is still sitting on the governor's desk. We should have an update. I'm going to try and get Mark back here in the next couple of weeks once all the dust is settled so we can report accurately as to how all this shook out. But Wyoming is becoming a freer state as far as gun goes. We also heard that Louisiana passed their constitutional carry bill. So things are looking up. And that's a whole nother discussion that we'll get into later. But at the end of this, when you guys are looking, especially, you know, newer shooters looking for guns, we had a couple that came and got private instruction from us, and now they're on the hunt for their gun, right? Don't be afraid to look at some of these places that maybe you haven't heard of. You know, we talked about Live Free. We talked about SDS. These are all, you know, PSA, Palmetto, right? They get bad raps from the mall ninjas.
It's a great place to start.
But they're good. They're solid guns. They're going to work. And this is a great place to learn because you can get the gear. You're not going to break the bank. You can afford the ammo. You can afford to go to the training, the practice, and get good at it. And then, as you develop more knowledge and more skill, then you can decide if you want to upgrade.
Take it from a gun addict. It won't be your forever gun.
Oh,
I promise you.
It never will.
You might come back and nostalgia, shoot it from time to time, but you will evolve as a shooter, and it will not be the same one.
Because you'll never get rid of your baby.
That's correct.
You'll just get more children.
That's correct. Yeah, but this coming from, well, no, you finally got your baby back, your Walther 380.
Yeah, because I traded that off and then realized that really hurt my feelings.
We all have that gun that we got rid of that we regret. I mean, I have mine.
I have mine.
I mean, we all do, but sometimes you just got to pay the rent.
That's right.
Or sometimes in the moment you find something shinier. But guaranteed, you'll probably always come back to that first one because you loved it, and it's what brought you to the dance, essentially. So, but don't be afraid, guys. Like, you see a Glock clone, and maybe you don't recognize the name, and it's $450, $500, and you're like, this is $100 cheaper than the Glock. Is it as good? I would say probably.
Take it for a drive. We'll see.
Right. So far, all of these ones that we've played with, I don't see a single thing wrong with them.
And, again, it won't be your forever gun. It's what you can afford right now.
That's right. And that's just it. What you can afford now may be the one that saves your life.
Even if it's a high point.
Right. Right.
If it's what you can get into, do it.
Right. Because life insurance is expensive.
That's right.
So if you can do it, do it. Don't be afraid. And don't worry about the haters. They're just going to hate. So until then, hopefully, you don't have to blame your gun because you bought right.